Good?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, The Express Times, Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. If all please rise for flag salute, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have the minutes from the July 5th, 2017 meeting. These are the regular meeting minutes. Any changes?
I have to say, I mean, we just get these now, and I had a number of points from the last meeting that I made an impression on me that I was looking through and looking for. And I understand these aren't a word-for-word transcript, but I was going to ask if I could have some time to maybe even review the tape, because I wouldn't want to guess at what I said. I want to make sure that a few points are in here.
We can table them.
Okay. Can we motion to table them?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. There we go. Next item is public comment, and I've gotten a couple emails regarding this process and things, and I asked Dick if you would just make sure to clarify the process for me.
Yeah, actually, there is a statutory requirement there be a public session open to the public at every meeting. There is no actual limitation with respect to the subjects, although one always hopes that the public will, you know, try to focus in on township business or other relevant business. But the purpose of it is to allow public members to come up and speak to the township committee, present their issues. The township committee doesn't have to respond. You know, I've been at meetings where people, I demand you answer. Well, there is no obligation with that. Occur. But the idea is to give this means of expression, and some towns have a town where the mayor comes out with a little, basically an egg timer. He says, okay, 3 minutes. The problem with that is that, you know, unless you vary from it at all, you have some issues. So that's really the purpose of it, just to entertain the information from the public to make sure that the decisions you're making, at least you have whatever comments the public has with respect to your decision.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Since we have two, one in the beginning, which is limited to agenda items only, is that legal that we only allow it to be agenda items only, the first one?
Yeah, sure. That's not a problem.
And the second one can kind of be...
And that's been your custom for a long period of time. And the second one is more free-range. So
okay.
I don't have a problem.
So with that, can I get a motion to open to public comment limited to the agenda items?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment limited to the agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Is there any public comment at this point? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Last week, this was on the or last meeting, this was on the agenda for the public hearing for the state of New Jersey, our ordinance for our capital funding. It, I guess, did not get published by the paper, so we are postponing the public hearing until for hopefully it gets published.
It is published today.
It's published today? Okay. So the public hearing will definitively be on August 2nd, 2017, for ordinance number 2017-04, which is for the capital ordinance of Township of Lebanon for the various public improvements and acquisition in, by, and for the township, appropriating, therefore, the sum of $382,000. So... I don't believe we any need a motion since it's already been done.
No.
Okay. Next is the resolution 75-2017, which is the August 2017 grace period. This is the certified 2017 tax rate has been delayed from the tax board of Hunterdon County. The rate is needed for the property tax bills to be printed. There will be a 25 days from the date of mailing for the return of the quarterly payment before interest is charged. So this is the grace period. I get a motion to approve resolution 75-2017.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 75-2017, extending the August grace period.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Well, I'll give you one update. This is what I happen to see our tax collector today, and the tax bills are now in, and in fact, we're getting posted today, so they'll be out now. And I think she said, I shouldn't say, because I can't remember exactly, but it was roughly August 16th, I think, is the date that they'll be due.
Okay, good. The next item is the we sent to the Friends of Memorial Park a memorandum of understanding a while back, and they got back to us. Basically, there's only one item that they want to change, that they would like to, instead of saying that currently maintains and operates, to say that they currently conducts volunteer events and suggests plans to improve and maintain the township-owned public park. Any discussion on that, or if not, basically, then a motion to approve signing the memorandum by myself and the clerk to then send to the Friends.
I just had a question here. You might know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
2B, when it says, what about jobs like swing set, did they answer the question?
No, it wasn't. That was like their notes. That was their notes along the lines that they, for them, when they sat down, that was whoever, okay. I think that was Eric's kind of like cheat sheet as he went for discussion.
Okay.
The only item that they wanted changed was that first item on lines 8 and 9.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor and clerk to sign a memorandum of understanding for Friends of Memorial Park.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, the next two resolutions are tabled due to their paperwork. So I missed, I went past that anyway, but that just so people ask, understand. The next item is the ambulance purchase. Actually, Jimmy, if you want to come up, I got it. So. Did you talk to Harry or their people and discuss it, because I think you came back to me saying you're
fine. Yeah, at this point the fire department's comfortable with going with Osage as far as the ambulance is concerned. I didn't talk to Harry directly just because I know how salespeople can be.
Okay.
When they're trying to push a product. I instead talked to whatever the local departments I could find that had Osage vehicles, and with the exception of one, they were all very happy with them. So. For $30,000, I can't find a reason to say no.
So. Right. Okay. So basically, this is if there's any questions, and this is clearly $30,000 less than the other proposal we got. This could be purchased through the Houston Galveston Co-op. So pending the approval tonight, they would then send the information that we need to be able to then send a voucher / PO to them. The key item there is getting at least a voucher to them so they can claim a spot in line and claim a chassis, because from what I understand, in a few weeks, could be a month, Ford stops production on the 2017 chassis, and we have to wait till some point in September to get the 2018 chassis. So if there's a approval or a motion to approve it, then we can authorize Joanne to put together a voucher, and they will send the pertinent information to get that rolling.
There's just one little thing. There is,
yes,
just a few regulations that I recall with respect to an out-of-state bidding group. I don't think it's a problem, but I think there's just a few steps that we have to go through under those regulations that I think have to be incorporated into the resolution. I think you can submit the voucher pending, you know, formalization. But I to keep your place in line, but we just want to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's so that the auditor doesn't raise any issues.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so it's something you can figure out and find out for us
in
short order?
Sure. We'll get Tara to look at that tomorrow.
Okay.
While we're on that topic, we haven't rejected the other bid, have we?
No.
Do we need to do that officially?
Did you just refresh my recollection? You went out to a bid. You got a formal bid on that?
Correct.
Still within the 60-day period?
Probably close to it.
Okay. Yeah. So you should do a motion rejecting the other bid on the grounds that a better price was found.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Then we need a motion to approve this bid with the resolution adjustment, you know, wording that Dick recommends, and to create the voucher so we can get our place in line. It's $215,933, which is about $30,000 less than the other proposal.
I'll make the motion of the ambulance purchase with Dick's input.
And to reject any all other bids, and to reject any outstanding bids, we add that to the resolution, right?
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay.
I'd like to thank the fire department for their extra work and diligence and
patience.
Saving the judges.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
To everybody involved.
Okay. Then the next item is the museum addition. We had put into the capital improvement, capital expenditure ordinance, extra money for the museum to go out to bid and then see if we get what our numbers come back for. So in the hopes that we could then go out the bid, I think we should set up dates and have Dick redo that bid package with the right dates so that we can essentially approve that on the 2nd and then release it on the 3rd. I think the 3rd is the Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
And then hopefully then it would be published the next week. And thoughts are to be 5-plus weeks, which would be bringing it back somewhere around the 12th. And then that would potentially give time for an awarding on the 20th if it falls within something we want to award. But I'm open to many other suggestions. If there's longer, clearly we don't want to go shorter, so that's about 5 weeks if we want to go longer.
Last time we were about 3.5 weeks. And the feedback was it didn't give the contractors quite enough time. Obviously, the pros and cons: the longer we wait, the harder deadline there is for winter coming. The question is, if 5.5 weeks.
What does it cost us to actually put this out to bid again? Roughly.
I don't know that answer.
I think in terms of redoing the bids, it's just changing the dates.
Changing dates.
Yeah.
There's very limited dates in
there. Not making any technical changes.
But you have a publication that you'd have to pay for.
Yeah, so whatever publication and so, yeah.
So I do have another date question, which after we got through this, I was going to ask you can tell us if it's technical or not. But should I ask that right now?
Yeah.
There's a section with time limit and liquidated damages section, which when we went out last time, we said that the contractor required work to begin within 30 days, and then we said 150 days it had to be complete or else the damages kicked in. And I think we also discussed last time that that was probably too short of time to expect somebody to start immediately. And going into winter, we probably want to give a little bit of extra time. So, you know, a thought would be whether we allow 60 days to start, and the end date includes the beginning date, as I understand, that's the structure of the way it has to work. So, unless we could separate them, but so one thought would be 180 days after the award, which would be 120 days after start. If people think that's enough time,
maybe John can comment on this in terms of this project. I mean, what you want to do, I think, here is to get it reasonable so that you attract reasonable and large number of bids.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to be so restrictive that we don't get anybody coming in saying they can't get it done in a time frame.
The problem is you've got public bidding in connection with this, so it's a little more burdensome for contractors to have a look at this. So I think my thought would be to stretch it out to some reasonable degree so that the contractor doesn't feel uptight, because the liquidated damages thing can be, you know, big contractors understand how to play that game. I think more local contractors are going to be a little bit leery if they read the bid document, which is something that doesn't happen. Tom, folks?
I'm just thinking about heading into winter. So I'm thinking about,
The 180 days would be from, let's say we actually awarded on September 20th, so it's always have a question mark. 180 days would put us to, I believe, March 20th, roughly. So the question is whether we need more than 180 days. That's why I just wanted to give that
point of mark. A lot of that is winter where they may not be able to get.
I think we do need to add more time.
Where they might not be able to get.
That.
Yeah.
Just in case there's inclement weather.
Now you can
2 feet of snow.
But I think really the question is, are you going to intimidate a contractor who might otherwise be willing to bid and give you a good price because they're worried about this provision?
I think you said last time we can waive it, but we can't promise to waive it.
Correct.
So that's going to be intimidation.
If you're going to promise to waive it, you might as well make
extend
it more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm inclined to take the start date 60 days just because you never know, crew's not going to be waiting around. It gives them some more time to start.
Most everyone's
working.
They're busy. They have their lined up
right now. And so this is going to be September. So then, you got October, November. Realistically, they could start. Hopefully, if it's a hard winter, if it's early winter, they might not be able to break ground. Hopefully, but that's my concern there. And then.
But I assume start means that they're prepared to work. They are, if a hand shovel's in the ground, they've started.
Permits.
Permits. Yeah. I mean, I'm inclined to stretch it out. I mean, I don't want to punish any contractor that's willing to give us a good price and change the dates.
Like another 3 months, or like 270 days, or?
Well, what about 60 and 180? It's 240.
Well, it's not consecutive.
But he's saying change the 180 to 240 then.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
That would be to the
60 to 240, yeah. Yeah, that would put him into May and to be able to get it done.
That sounds reasonable, and we can still waive if it's a crazy winter.
Right.
Yeah, and that would holds be them a common to do that. Even on a big contract, if you have horrible weather, you normally push it back to accommodate the inability of the contractor to do the job.
Is there a clause in the contract that kind of represents that?
Yeah, it says inclement weather. It does say that in there. If there's inclement weather, they can
pretty much standard climate.
But this way, it's, a guy reads it, they just see the numbers, a lot of times. So, but it's the same thing. If we just change it to 60 and 240, that's something Karen can do. There's nothing, obviously, changing legally in that. Right, Dick?
Yeah.
Okay. You good with that, Karen, then?
Mm-hmm.
As everybody else, they'll make a motion to change it from 60 days for the start and 240 days for the completion?
Yeah, whatever Tom says, because you're the contractor.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, so here would be essentially the motion. For Karen to recreate the document, for August 3rd would be a release date, would be published the next week. We requested due on the 12th. Which would be 5.5 weeks. We'd look to award if we get a favorable bid by the 20th of September. We would change the dates to 60 days for start of date, start of work, and 240 days for completion. That would be the motion.
And one little addition, the date for the pre-conference bid to be determined. I haven't heard back from the architect yet, but we'll change that date as well.
Okay. Can I get a motion to that effect for that?
I would make a motion to that effect.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you. Then a leftover from the one meeting I wasn't here, Marty Collette from the Environmental Open Space Commission, he wants to be a part of it. He would be alternate two with his term expiring 12/31/18. I guess officially I just need to approve it, but get a motion from the committee to say we're approving Marty.
Make a motion to approve the mayor's appointment of Marty
Collette.
Collette.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we have here the, it's not on the agenda, it got added right here at the end. It's the funding agreement for the assignment of the rights to interest in the real estate property of 97 Red Mill Road. Do you want to explain that, Mike?
Sure. As you know, the township passed an ordinance to acquire for open space preservation 97 Red Mill Road. As the process has worked out, we're getting, I'll just remind you, the township is using a county municipal open grant, open space grant, and a county nonprofit grant, which was awarded to Raritan Headwaters. Raritan Headwaters offered that they have remaining funds in a Green Acres grant of $50,000 that they would contribute to this acquisition. In order to use Green Acres funds, Raritan Headwaters has to have matching funds to match the Green Acres fund. And the way that gets done legally is that we assign our county funds to Raritan Headwaters. So at closing, there would first be a closing that Raritan Headwaters would buy the entire property. And then immediately thereafter, as the document states, they would assign the property to Lebanon Township. So it comes to the same endpoint. It's just for satisfying Green Acres has to be done. So the current numbers would be that $57,360 would be the municipal grant awarded to Lebanon Township from Hunterdon County. $26,840 would be the Hunterdon County Open Space Nonprofit Grant, and $50,000 will be the Green Acres Nonprofit Grant.
When you say municipal grant, that's Hunterdon County.
It's our so-called drawback from Hunterdon County, of which our balance is about $200,000.
And this was actually already approved previously, right?
Well,
I believe as part of the as I understand it, or no?
As I understand it, the technical experts, the ordinance that we passed allows the clerk and mayor to execute the documents required to purchase the property.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so this would fall under that category of.
Yeah, the assignment itself.
Yeah.
This folks should do a motion.
Fine, that's
I think that's for the record.
Okay.
You presented it. I think that's the sense.
So, can we get a motion to approve the funding agreement for the assignment of rights intended for the real property 97 Red Mill Road?
I'll make a motion to approve the funding agreement for the assignment of rights to interest in real property at 97 Red Mill Road.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 While we're on that topic, I have one question for the committee as well. Mine?
Yeah. Well, you and Tom.
Mine's on.
Are they on?
Is it on now?
Oh, now it's on. Yep.
On record.
So, the question for the committee at 97 Red Mill Road. You may recall the owners are responsible for demolition of the house that was at the property. This past Monday, they started the actual demolition. So they've got, they have their permit. The demolition. If you drive past, you'll see the house is gone. And I would also say, maybe just as a side note here, it's working out very well for the township. Because the township is going to be, you may recall,
sorry for getting too many topics here.
I remember the masonry was going to try to be left, maybe?
The masonry was going to try to be left. As they've gotten into it, it turns out from 200 years of standing out, there seems to be no mortar left at all. The rocks are just held together by sand, and the slightest tap, it just crumbles. So there'll be very little of any walls left. But that's going to the heart of the question here. They have a permit from our construction official for the demolition. Ralph tells me that he will go and inspect to close out the permit when they're done. We also discussed some months ago whether we should ask Steve Reese, as the township engineer, to inspect that everything that is left in a stable fashion. And I asked about, or I think we discussed, whether he could say that it's safe. Apparently engineers don't use the word safe, but they use the word stable. So my question is whether we want to ask the engineer to review the demolition in addition to the building inspector.
Well, it's going to cost us money.
Yeah, exactly. It's a question whether it's, I don't know enough about it, whether it's belts and suspenders, whether it's duplication completely, I don't know. Should I ask the committee?
I mean, I think the construction official knows his job. I mean,
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
So unless the construction official raises any issue, we'll...
Right.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Maybe
Would you elaborate when you get done with Green Acres restrictions? Anything that you know about Green Acres restrictions? It mentions it in here.
There's volumes of Green Acres restrictions in terms of it can never be sold. There's restricted uses. You couldn't put a house back on it.
Anything to do with the use of the land, or
that's what I mean. You can't put a house on it,
or any other.
It's open to the public, open space,
passive recreation.
Passive recreation.
Bev, also, if you were going to bring vendors in, there's some peculiar language in the, I don't know if it's peculiar, but there's language in there that requires some special actions to be followed to make sure that you're not favoring one vendor or another. It's sort of the opposite of the bidding, the reverse of the bidding. And you also, do you already have Green Acres? The land that was purchased with Green Acres?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you have a Rossi, which is a register of open space. So everything, including everything that's purchased with Green Acres, together with anything else that was acquired, has to go on your Rossi.
And I think that maybe if I can confirm where you're going with that question, whether it changes anything to have Green Acres involved versus county money involved. Is that where you're going?
Whenever I see restrictions, I just like to know what that means. It doesn't matter.
But just to say, by understanding, and I've checked this with the county, even if Lebanon Township, but please confirm this, even if Lebanon Township used its own open space money, our open space tax follows the state Green Acres open space statutes. Mm-hmm. So anything we buy with any open space money, whether it's our own, whether it's the county, whether it's Green Acres, has the same, quote, restrictions.
And to sort of follow up on that, when I mentioned the Rossi, once you've purchased other land with Green Acres, then all of your lands are subject to the Green Acre requirements. That's the condition that Green Acres extracts when it gives you money.
There's a statute here. I'll just read it in my spare time.
But I was going to say...
That's what I'm figuring based on what he said.
Maybe just as a side update, the DPW, and it's actually funded by the ordinance that we'll talk about next week. You recall every year we spend roughly $200,000 repaving roads. And the targeted repaving is for Red Mill Road, as we've discussed a couple of times. It was going to go from Newport to Mount Airy Road. When Warren went out for bid on that, it turns out asphalt prices have dropped so much because of oil prices having dropped that he can now pave all the way from Newport to Fort Hill Road on the same budget, $200,000, that he expected to only get half of that done. I mention that because that happens to go in front of this house. Right now the demolition, the equipment and the like are kind of tearing up the road, as you'd expect.
Maybe he could widen those S-turns bit there.
A couple of trees have come down and they're being... they'll help for big trucks. You still wouldn't want to go through at full speed, but it's improved.
Well, I think the speed limit there is 50 miles.
And then hopefully these guys will be gone
for the current moment.
And then they'll be gone hopefully by the time he gets there.
Well, they will be. Yeah.
Which is key. We didn't want to tear up a brand new road.
Yep. So thanks for indulging.
No problem. We did that approval. Okay. Just as a side note, last weekend there was supposed to be a recycling dumpster out there, and I guess Republic doesn't know how to read a calendar and figure out third weekend. So it will be out there this weekend. If any, you know, for anybody who needs to put recycling out and get rid of it. The other item, just as a side note, and I'll have more information when I get it, but I met with Stan Pratt today. He had come here about a month ago talking about street lights. He came back with a list of lights. We actually have probably 30 or so. I was pretty amazed. But there was a number of them on the list that I think were not in the township, so he was going to, because we are... We don't have our own post office. There's some...
By zip code.
Yeah, so there's some areas that I think he was going to double-check and actually get actual locations on to confirm if they are actually in the township. But still, I think there's going to be somewhere around 30 or so. And then once he has that list, it actually... It will end up looking like it will save us money. They'll do all the replacements as long as we don't really change the lights to be anything special. It will save us money on the electric bill and everything like that based on the amount we have. So he's hopefully will give me the revised list some point next week, and then we can just discuss it.
He wasn't living in Borough by chance, was he?
No, but there was a couple on there that didn't show streets. They just said drive on them and didn't really... I don't know. He didn't know if it was a cutoff because of the Excel sheet and it cut off the name. So he was going to confirm, and all of them were in a row. So it was like a street light. And I don't know any place in our town that we have a street light on every single telephone pole. Because it looked like the numbers were all consecutive. So it was kind of a strange...
So I said, check that.
So he'll get back to us. But it looks like it's a beneficial program for them to replace, and it changes our electric bills based on the light poles that we have. So it will be good. The next item is new... Oh, well, before we go to new business, anybody else have any old business? I think I covered all my old business. Yes? No?
No.
Okay, new business then. Mr. Afgar, you want to join us at the desk? In your packet behind this page is chapter...
I don't have the volume turned up. You know my hearing.
Yes.
It wasn't cranked up. I am not going to hear you over there.
No problem.
I've not gotten any better. I need hearing aids. I keep going like this. I have some paperwork that may help.
Thank you.
Hearing has gotten no better.
Hard to come by.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just yelling at those microphones.
So, but the other thing in there is the fee structure, and it's actually on the third page is actually the stuff pertaining to fire that we have on the books right now.
Obviously what this is about, which we have
flip it over.
Spoken about during the interviews for the job, plus... Everybody's going to hear me without this thing in there, right? non-life hazard uses. They are mandated by the state of New Jersey fire code. They have to be inspected. Non-life hazard uses are every structure that is not a single or two-family residence occupied by an owner. Actually, if there is a residence that is not occupied by an owner and they're renting it, that actually does fall under the code. So everything else needs to be inspected. As a note, which I have mentioned before, that's sort of crazy. If the state was the jurisdiction here, they would only inspect life hazard uses and would not inspect non-life hazard uses. Seems crazy. But when you have a local enforcing agency, we are required to inspect everything, as I said, beyond the one and two family owner occupied homes. Okay, so there's a fee schedule for life hazard uses. I thought I would just give you that. That's the first thing, should be on top. Just to take a look at, and you can see what the life hazard use fees are established by the state. I won't go into exactly, you know, what they all are. There's different classifications here. They start off at $84. You see, they go up to $3,706. I could pick out just one because I just happened to be going through that file. You might be familiar with Old Wick Auto down here on 513. He has a little spray area, whatever. He doesn't have a spray booth type thing he needs. He's a BG, $755 a year he has to pay as a life hazard use fee. Schools, they pay $166 a year. So Voorhees High School pays $166 a year, and I spend buco time at Voorhees High School doing inspections. I mean, it takes 4 or 5 hours to do the inspection. I can go over to Old Wick Auto Body, and if everything is in place where it ought to be, a couple hours, I'm done with the paperwork and so forth. But anyway, it's just, okay, you can see what the life hazard use fees are. Next paper down, should be up in the corner, says Township of Lebanon. That's us. If you look down at the sort of, in the middle, you'll see the non-life hazard use fee schedule. Now, just as a note, up until about 3 weeks ago, we really weren't even quite sure we had an ordinance to do non-life hazard uses and the fee schedule or whatever. Digging through everything, yes, indeed. When the life or when the local enforcement agency was created, so was the inspections for non-life hazard use. Now, I have done some over the years, but nowhere near all of them. I'm going to make a guess that we probably have, and this is just a guess, we may have anywhere between 35 and 50 non-life hazard uses, and there are about 35 life hazard uses in the township, just as a number. There is a fee, and it's done by square footage. Pretty straightforward, under 1,500 square feet, $50, goes up to $11,999. The reason it cuts off at $11,999, once the structure hits 12,000 square feet, it falls under life hazard use, and then it would be under that fee schedule there. So that's why you're going to see when you look at a lot of these other fee schedules from other districts, you're going to see that they end at $11,999. So that's our fee schedule. Next one down is Wapatcong. Again, I just went on the web and just went to their, tried to find their fee schedule and go for it. This one's a little different, and you're going to see Clinton underneath it is the same way. They go by use. They're actually trying to sort of follow and mirror what the Division of Fire Safety is doing. So rather, they have some square footage in there, but you're also going to see on the left, it's the use. Could be a business use, could be an assembly use, a mercantile, factory. They do it that way. And they're still using some square footage, but they are going that route. If you also, again, not to beleaguer this thing, get through it as quickly as possible. Now, the next one down is Clinton. Clinton is doing the same thing. Clinton is going by use. Use group designation, and then you can see, to get down to the nitty-gritty here, it starts off at $35 for under 1,000 square feet and a use group A, and it ends that their top fee is $180. Well, no, the top fee is like $215. That's probably in a mercantile type use. So that's their range. The range for Wapatcong was basically 25 up to 150. The last one to look at is Washington Township. They just go by a straight square footage the same way we do, and they go from $42 up to $192. And that is their fee schedule. The reason I wanted to discuss it, we do have one established. But looking at others, we might be just a little bit low from the 5,000 square feet up to the $11,999. My recommendation would be, or suggestion at this point, would be that maybe $25 to each one of those. Now, obviously, the fee has to cover the time of the inspector going out, doing the paperwork. We know that in the beginning of doing these non-life hazard uses, I have a feeling that half of them, this fee won't even cover it. But that's neither here nor there. We know that we have to get into this. We've got to start inspecting these facilities, and they've got to be done. So once everything gets maybe on an even keel, the fees should even out. And again, the fees are for more than just the time. You do have to run the office. I mean, there's, you know, the NFPA code book that we need. You have to have the NFPA code book. It's $1,800 a year just for the code book. You have to have a couple radios. Part of our job is staying in touch with fire department when there's calls and communications, Hunterdon County you need. So you've got radios, you've got code books you need, memberships to the NFPA, you know, some basic turnout gear for fire. And those things we already have. What I'm mentioning, we already have. So obviously somebody's already paid for those. They need upgrading at different times, some of the equipment. The NFPA codes are yearly, so there's $1,800 a year. So obviously the fees are more than just for the time spent doing the inspections and the paperwork. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is there, you know, is the feeling for the council, the committee, they want to try and move the fees up a little bit, or you want to just go with this in the beginning? Because there's no sense me beating myself to death trying to maybe, you know, tweak this a little bit and get it a little bit closer to what we're doing if there's really no, you know, interest in upping the fees. And again, I'm not for upping fees to tattoo the township businesses. They get enough problems. And unfortunately, I know that some are going to have some expense when I go do the first inspections, because there's going to be certain things that they probably haven't done that are going to need to be get updated and maybe upgraded and so forth. So, questions? Remember, you got to yell at me, Mike. I'll never hear.
I'm going to do my best. So, just to be very clear, you're saying under 1,500 feet. Square feet up to 5,000 square feet, those fees should cover your time, you think? The fee of $50, $60, $70?
You mean the ones underneath?
Yeah. You're suggesting only raising the
upper ones? Well, it's something under 1,500 square feet. Let's pick on a mini mall somewhere over there. I always hate to say California because, damn it, it's Lebanon Township. Yeah. Over in Lebanon Township. The bank. The bank is a non-life hazard use. Okay. I'm going to go into the bank. I've already been there. I bank at PNC. I can see their exit light working, their emergency lights working. I know they have an alarm system. I have not gotten a report on it, but I can't imagine that PNC probably doesn't keep their alarm systems up to snuff. I can't see any reason why 2 hours going in there, the $50 would not cover it.
That'll cover your paperwork and...
Yeah, the paperwork, if there's no violations, is very simple. I just come back and fill out an inspection form that I have done the inspection. Okay. It doesn't take hardly any time at all to do that. Okay. I mean, obviously, I always try to call. Let them know I'm coming, because I want to go when a manager's there, not somebody tell her behind the counter she's more interested in the money, obviously. You know, so you call, you drive over, but you know, I'm probably going to a couple places when I'm going, and then you come back and do the paperwork. So that would cover. Now, of course, like I say, once you run into a situation where now you have to do a notice of violation, now you got to do paperwork, notice of violation, there has to be a reinspection, and that would take longer, obviously.
Is there an additional fee that gets charged if there's a reinspection?
No.
Okay. So this has to these fees should average.
This fee has to cover it all.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no, the only thing they would get into would be penalty. You know, we don't want to get into that.
Right.
I just assume, don't spend your money on the penalty. Spend your money on what you have to do. If you got to put new exit lights in, spend it on putting new exit lights in. Makes a lot more sense to me. I mean, obviously, if you have to use a penalty, you use a penalty. You know, you can come down with a hammer, but we try not to. So, I'm sure tonight, and it would mean redoing the fee ordinance, obviously, at least for this. So... You know, I'm not looking for us to come up with a figure tonight and move ahead, but I just wanted to get the feeling of the council. Do you want to move ahead? Want me to do a little more investigation on this? Because I'm going to be, like I say, the ordinance is all in place. Next week, I'm doing a letter, which I had spoken to the mayor about, I guess everybody spoke about, and I'm going to start going out and around with it. They probably might ask about fee. Again, if there's interest to change the fee a little bit, I can say, well, here's the existing fee schedule, but it's probably going to change. I mean, you know, however.
I mean, it hasn't been, I mean, looking at the paperwork, this seems to have been established, I'm saying, about 2005 was the last time anything was updated in that section. And then the one that you came from Washington Township, they looked like they did theirs in 2010, so they seem, you know, seems a little closer to now. but, I mean, we're, you know, 12, 13, you know, years ago that this was established.
I went on the website for Clinton Township. I'm going to call them tomorrow because I can't believe what I saw, because I may not have been looking at the right section. They started off at something like, and again, I, you know, don't put it in the paper. I have no idea whether this is correct. I'm not even sure I was looking at the right thing, but it was underneath fire, and it looked like it was underneath non-life hazard uses. They went something like 200, 400, 600, and 900. Wait, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I can't believe I was looking at the right thing. I can't believe they would go to a mom-and-pop store and have a $200 fee, but I don't know. Maybe they do. But, I mean, that would be crazy. We shouldn't even...
The way we're going now, are the fees covering your services, basically?
Yeah.
That's my question.
Well, currently. Yeah, we haven't really done any of these to really know how much time you're going to invest and truly need to invest into it.
Yeah.
And my just thought is if we were going to be proactive here, if the other towns' fee structures are higher, they obviously have some kind of track record to establish that fee structure. Do we adjust it now a little bit, or do we just let it go and see where the numbers fall? I mean, and that's really before we let Gary loose, he can at least then has numbers to work with.
Well,
one way or the other.
If we adjust it now and they're still maybe short, then we still have to adjust them again.
Correct. My concern is though we make a huge adjustment. If we have to make a huge adjustment the second year, a softer adjustment, maybe $30, $25, $30 now, because we are so old on the fee structure, and then if we do find out that we're still short, it's not going to be a 50 or a big jump. You know, I'm not
thinking of the age of the fee structure as much as I'm thinking, will they cover Gary's whole program?
Right.
If so, why charge the taxpayer any more money?
Yeah, I mean, we're saying a 12,000 square foot facility. I'm trying to think.
That's going
to
be a life hazard use.
Yeah. Well, $11,999. I'm trying to think something that's we have. You know, the $11,999 structure. You know, 11,000 square foot structure. What that would be? Do we have something like that?
Some of the ones down on 513 down on the end, but I've got a couple life hazard uses in there. There used to be 100 metal. They're out. There's another business down in there now.
Because that's realistically covering you for 4 hours, you know, is really what that 11,000 square foot number is for.
You can get involved in something. You can go to something that's 5,000 square feet, and depending on what their use is, and that's why I see some of the other ones do use. I don't want to get into use, but there might be more involved in there. There might be more than going in and just looking at an office and looking to see if there's exit lights. They may, you know, some kind of business cutting and welding and who knows what else they might be doing, flammable liquid stored and all of this that you would have to deal with. So just because the square footage might be less doesn't mean that you may have less of a potential for me to spend time and that's what this fee schedule is supposedly all about, not only time but also hazard potential for fire and that type of thing. We're not so much into that when we're doing, you know, this fee schedule. At least that's the way I see it. Like I say, I would just like to stick with square footage. I think we can be fine with that.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of strange businesses here that I think that could, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think might happen also? I think I'm going to go to some of these that I think are just non-life hazard uses. I'm going to find out they're a life hazard use. And the next time you'll be being registered and the state fee schedule will kick in.
Right.
You know, you always miss a few that you don't really know what they're doing, obviously.
Sure. Back in the interview process, there was...
Yeah.
When we were having this discussion some time ago, interviewing and the like,
right.
That you brought up the point that the new life hazard, or the new inspections are going to take callbacks because they're not going to know anything. And we thought the concept came up, or the idea came up, of having like a registration fee, or sort of a first-time fee that would apply if somebody starts a new business, or in this case, their first time if they haven't been inspected, to cover the fact that it's going to be, you know, double your hours or whatever we expect.
Well, is that legal?
Is that something we should do?
It's very possible that, again, I haven't delved into all of these different municipalities and those other ones to talk to. They may have a registration fee, you know, for that. That's basically what this is called. They call that a registration fee, the state of New Jersey. This you're paying your registration fee.
Mm-hmm. Although, but you know what I meant, a first-time fee that wouldn't be
that
charged
would be
the next year, the other years.
Whether, you know, you can do that is something that I'm sure the attorney and Division of Fire Safety or somebody can answer that question.
If we can put
I understand where you're coming from. First time, have a registration.
I'm not 100% sure. Double check. I assume that the objective here is something that Brian alluded to, is to not make a profit.
It's to cover costs.
Reasonably cover costs.
Yeah. Right.
So how you do it is probably not a problem, but I see it didn't look like anybody else has that. Doesn't look like anybody else has that exact same procedure. But
I only ripped off the fee schedule. There was other papers. There's a whole ordinance. I only took this. Yeah, I don't know either whether anybody else does that. Yeah. Obviously, they have to. They're going to register. I have to go around with a form, and they will be registering. I'm really just going to use the life hazard use form and just call it a non-life hazard use form. I'm going to get the exact same information. It'll all be on there.
So, I mean, I guess at this point, for our determination, is do we want to readjust this fee structure, or do we want to hold it for this year? Because we can't change it halfway through the year, obviously. So it's either stick with this for this whole year of process, see where we end up, or we make an adjustment now prior to Gary going out. And, you know, I don't want you to go out with a piece of paper saying this is what it is, but it might change. I want you to go out with this is what it is. You know, I'm really not a fan
of... that's much better.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of, you know, having this nebulous kind of situation.
Nobody likes that when I say, well, the fee is probably going to be adjusted.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So it's either we're content with this to go forward for this year, and then we sit back next year.
I think that might be a good way of doing it. We're already getting to be August.
Right. Well, exactly. You know, so I mean, we're getting going on this. I mean, you know, with the state, but I mean, if everybody's comfortable with that, that may be the best route to go if we're...
To not change it.
Let it go forward this year, see where we're at. Gary comes back to us after he's done a full inspection of everybody and say, yeah, we did okay, or no, we got to tweak it a little bit. It just means more kind of closer record keeping on your part to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only that, the life hazard uses can carry it. I believe there's about $10,000 that comes in for life hazard use fees. So that can carry it this year. And obviously the whole, you know, this should not be a burden on the taxpayers through their tax bill. This is all supposed to be self-sustaining through the businesses and the uses and so forth.
Right.
And it has been. So that I don't think there's any reason that it will not continue that way. But that sounds
right. And that's where, like I was saying, is like, you know, after a year you come back, here was with a non-life hazard. It supported itself or it didn't. And then if it didn't, then we can make those adjustments in the areas that you feel you needed to take more time. If we need to make a separate category for 8,000 square feet, we make a separate category because we have a strange amount of buildings that are 8,000 square feet.
Keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay. Then why don't we just, because it was on the agenda, make a motion that we're going to keep the fee structure the way it is and let Gary go out with for the non-life hazard uses.
I'll make a motion that we're going to keep the fee structure the way it is and have Gary go out for the non-life hazard uses.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you, Gary, for coming in.
Can I have
another one?
Huh?
Is there something else on that agenda?
Oh, yeah.
Before we go to that point, can I have a related question? Do you have access to the township ordinances right now?
Yes.
We discussed as well the possibility of a fire inspector. We discussed the possibility of maybe if we needed a fire inspector to to support you. And the question was whether our ordinance allows us to have a fire inspector. By my reading, section 214-7C.
Hurry up.
Sorry.
It takes a while.
Maybe you do want to do the ABC. Maybe you do want to do the next point, but
no, that's fine. I'm trying to get to find it.
Okay.
So, when you find it, yeah, the Gary had also asked about, you know, I guess we collect money, you know, we permit fee for AMB Stainless to do the fireworks, and the fire department has to be on and staff to be there. So he had thought it would be appropriate to, you know, part of that permit fee to give a donation to them. As I understand it, there's no provision to do that in the way that the structure is, and realistically that's kind of, you know, maybe it's worthwhile for us to know on the committee, and that's, you know, for Jimmy or whatever, to know how many of these items that they may do, because that goes towards the appropriation that the township committee gives them every year to kind of help cover those things and things like, you know, if there's items that we don't know about, it's worth us knowing so we can know that we're appropriating the proper, you know, properly.
214-7C. Do you need it in hard copy?
We now have it in hard copy.
The old-fashioned way.
So that worked pretty good.
Yeah, there we go.
So, we understand the request, but I think because of the way it worked, we can't do that. But, I mean, it's just then, like I said, then, you know, knowing items like this from you or Jimmy that, you know, come back to the committee to know things that, you know, I wasn't aware that they have to be essentially on standby, and if they're not there, the fireworks don't happen. So it's just items like that. Good to know that, you know, that, I mean, we have the volunteers that do that, but, and then it's just to take into consideration when we're doing the appropriations and stuff like that, that, you know, other items outside of just the regular call for arms, so to speak, that you take up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you want to address it?
Yeah, so my
go ahead. My
question was if we chose or had the need for a fire inspector to support the fire official, we weren't sure a couple months ago whether we had an ordinance in place to do that.
You do, and it's okay. Under, as the section Mike pointed out, it's inspectors and employees, such inspectors and other employees as may be necessary in the local enforcing agency shall be appointed by the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon upon recommendation of the fire official. So you could do that. You're going to need a salary ordinance amendment.
Right, we still need that.
Yeah,
okay.
We still need that. But you certainly have the authority to do it.
That's what I just want to check. So no.
Going forward, seeing your workload and what, you know.
Yeah, or I dropped in.
Okay. Well, then we need another fire official. Okay. That doesn't help us.
Oh my God!
Or get shot. That's
true. Yeah. Or dog bite.
The next item, new business. Joanne Fasinelli is looking to do another townwide cleanup. We did one in the spring that was a holdover from last year because of weather and coordination just couldn't happen. They're looking to do another one in October of this year. Basically, this is Clean Communities money that can go towards this. So it's this is really what it's meant for, is spending this, and we have money left in our Clean Communities account. As I recall, it was somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500. In that range was what the expenditure was. So she's just looking to see if we want to do this again. It was a success, as I understand from Warren and her and Joanne.
Yeah. And people were asking if we're doing it again.
I think we needed to, what they said was we needed
more
to do
published,
a better job. Yeah, proactive advertising, yep. But that was a good thing, so.
Yeah, but I still think they filled containers, so I, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think four containers.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, can I get a motion if we're interested in this to have Joanne then book it again for October 21st, 2017?
I'll make a motion to have Joanne book another dumpster day, whatever you want to call it here, fall townwide cleanup for October 21st of 2017.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Presentation of vouchers. Brian?
I have none that qualify.
Okay.
I have none that qualify.
I have none that qualify.
Mm.
I've got one for Cooperative Communications, $1,039.50. Another one for Montauk Enterprises, parts for, I believe it's fixing the flail mower, $1,618.54. And asphalt tickets for $1,896.76.
I have one here for Statewide Insurance Fund, which is our workman's comp, installment 404, and umbrella assessment installment 404, $51,124.25.
That's it. Can I get a motion to approve the vouchers?
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 In our course... correspondence, we have from the Green Acres, we got notification. This is regarding the Pelio property, that they went through the Department of Environmental Protections and Garden State Preservation Trust that has approved Green Acres matching grant of $500,000. This funding is still contingent on the passage of the legislature. Usually a formality. It is also contingent on the committee, Environmental Open Space, and Planning Board, more Planning Board, and which Mike has been taking on, is updating the, what's the, it's a
Open Space and Recreation Plan.
There you go.
Oh,
Open
sorry.
Space and Recreation Plan. That was, last time it was done, like 2002.
Yep.
So it needs to be updated. So this is just, you know, so we are now somewhere close to
We have $1 million from the county, along with New Jersey Conservation Foundation and ourselves. Hunterdon Land Trust, another nonprofit, is pledged $150,000 of their Green Acres money, and then this $500,000. So we're at $1.65 million toward a total purchase price of
somewhere
expected around $2 million. Appraisal still underway.
So we're close.
Yeah, we're closing in.
What is the passage of legislation? What does that mean, appropriation?
This is the legislature has to do the same thing.
This
like we,
us?
How we approve.
Yeah.
The legislature has to approve the expenditure. You know, like we approve a voucher, they have to approve a voucher.
They being?
The legislature. Trenton.
State. Okay, that's what I was wondering, state.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Then we have the tax collector's report for June 30th. Taxes year 2017, $178,467.50. Taxes year 2016, $13,897.08. Interest, $4,789.16. Trailer court fee, $2,220 for a total of $199,373.74. Okay. If there's nothing else, can I get a motion to open to public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Bernie.
Bernie Crine, Red Mill Road. Just a brief suggestion, as Dick said back on the construction, I believe it was the museum. it's tough when you put those folks in a pigeonhole like that when you have the time frames. So just a suggestion that another avenue may be that a lot of your builders and folks today use some form of project timeline, like Microsoft Project something. As part of your bid specs, you could have them provide with their pricing a schedule of the project, of what they project the project to take, and the time based on 60 days from the award of the contract to start. And then you can look, and I think 240 days is very lucrative, and you shouldn't have any trouble with that time frame. But sometimes when a builder feels that they have a little bit of input and tell you what they can do it in and the time they can do it in, then you have something to look at and say, this works for us or this doesn't work for us or something. So just a suggestion.
Thanks, Bernie.
Any other public comment? Okay. Seeing none, can I make a motion to close? Can I get a motion to close?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. We are going to go into executive. I don't expect to have any thing coming out. It would be as for a review of all of our professional services contracts. I think you have an update about some litigation.
Yes, Mid-Atlantic litigation. I did an update on that briefly.
Okay.
I don't know if you have anything on collective bargaining.
Only if you do.
Yeah, give me a brief report.
Okay. And like I said, I don't expect anything when we come out. Can I get a motion to go into executive session, resolution 78-2017?
I'll make a motion to go into executive session, resolution number 78-2017.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay.
In your recess for a minute, I have some questions, and I'm sorry I was late. I wrote down the time wrong. The property, the Green Acres property,